Hello and welcome to This Is The Way Phase 4, your Marvel Cinematic and TV Universe discussion podcast by me, Steve Lascalzo, and hopefully in the future, some of my friends who like to talk about Marvel's great movies and now TV shows streaming on Disney Plus. WandaVision debuted what is now yesterday, January 15th, 2021, with two episodes, not just one, but two episodes, and they're just called Episode 1 and Episode 2, at least as far as I can tell. And if you're not familiar, WandaVision takes place in some pocket universe or alternate universe. Vision was killed at the midpoint, or at the end, actually, of Infinity Wars. Did not appear in Endgame in any way, shape, or form, but they've brought him back. Wanda Maximoff just couldn't handle not having her the love of her life, and she's created this weird fictitious universe, or I think it's her that's created this weird fictitious universe, at least because based on the limited knowledge I have of the comic books, that's what she's done. There's a multiverse of madness that's coming out with in a Doctor Strange movie, I believe. And I think she's the cause of that. So in this case, I think she is either creating this pocket universe or is being held in this pocket universe by someone else and is being fed off. Or, I mean, that's what this whole show is setting up. There's a mystery that needs to be solved. And it's very strange and unusual. So we hope you'll come back week after week and join me for some speculation, wild as it is. Because, again, I don't know that much about the comic books. I do enjoy all the Marvel offerings on the silver screen. And I'm going to take these TV shows that they're releasing, starting, of course, with WandaVision here, and then Loki later, and Captain and the Winter Soldier. Those TV shows are going to come out later or early in 2021. So we're going to try to do our best and figure out how Phase 4 is going to move forward. And we're starting with WandaVision Episode 1. WandaVision. So if you're just joining us, we do have another podcast. That podcast is called This Is The Way on The Mandalorian. Now, this podcast is going to just talk about Marvel and the TV shows and the movies. But if you are interested in The Mandalorian and some of the other Star Wars TV shows and movies that might be coming out in the near future, please definitely check us out on This Is The Way Podcast. You can check us out there at This Is The Way Pod and on Twitter and on Instagram, and This Is The Way Podcast at gmail.com. For this show, This Is The Way Phase 4, you're going to email us if you want to take part at This Is The Way Phase 4 at gmail.com. And we do have a Twitter account now, and it's called The Way Phase 4, at The Way Phase 4. And we'll work on getting an Instagram of the same name in the future, and I'm working on setting up Facebook pages for both of those, for both the podcasts and getting that started. But please, definitely, you can go to anchor.fm and catch our podcasts there. And Spotify has our podcasts, I believe, and many other sites. Pretty soon probably will be hosted on Apple, but we don't want to do a podcast if nobody's going to listen. So please give us some feedback. It makes it a lot more fun if I've got emails to check and tweets to mention on our podcast. So please, we hope you will.
Oh, this is going to be a gas.
Okay, so let's get into episode one. It starts out like a classic 50s TV show, I guess. Wanda and Vision are, I guess, moving in or just moved into their house. It starts off with Wanda, I guess, in the kitchen, and it's a really strange way it's filmed. Now, it's not filmed in it's filmed in a high, I don't want to say 4K, but it's filmed in high quality, and they just gray everything out, like it would be in the 50s. The comedy is, I want to say, over the top. It is like it would be a classically written 50s TV show, kind of tame and corny jokes. Wanda acts a little bit corny, and Agnes comes in, her neighbor. It's a very over-the-top 50s sitcom vibe that they're setting up. But it's clear, of course, that Wanda has powers, and I believe Vision has some of his powers at least as well. He does by the end of the episode, of course. But it starts off with a clip that they showed online where it's another classic trope of sitcoms where the husband and wife, or the husband at least, doesn't know what the anniversary is about. At least that's how they kind of set it up for you. There's a heart on the calendar. And they don't know exactly, neither of them know exactly what it is that heart represents. It's like they're setting up some kind of, not amnesia, but maybe there's someone pulling some strings, or someone is causing them to not want to deal with reality, because they don't mention the real world at all. They kind of treat this town of Westview as that, like a town that, oh, we've been married for years, of course, and they don't have they realize they don't have wedding rings. But rather than pull them out of their delusion, it's like they're either willfully going along, or someone is forcing them to kind of go along with this delusion. It almost seems at times like Wanda is the one that's forcing the delusion on not just herself, but on everyone around her, or that they're just maybe the people that she's interacting with are trying to help her come to some kind of grip with reality. Because it's just very odd. The comedy is very strange. I want to say up front that I didn't particularly like either episode one or episode two, but it's Marvel, and they do a fantastic job of setting things up. So I'm giving them tons of leeway, because it's quite obvious to me that they've got a plan, and I'm more than willing to watch a few episodes where I have no idea what's going on to get to what I believe is a worthy payoff. It's a very corny kind of humor with this 50s theme that they've got. They're attempting to blend in. Wanda or Vision changes his like android face into a human face, and he goes to work. He goes to a job. It's like computational services, and he's like, so what is it exactly we do here? He and his coworkers like don't exactly seem to know what is going on, but he knows he's got a boss, a Mr. Hart.
No skeletons in your closet, eh, Vision?
I don't have a skeleton, sir.
Glad to hear it. Your future in this company depends on it.
Agnes is going over things with Wanda like she's forgotten her anniversary. And Vision figures out early into his workday, his short workday, that it's actually a dinner for his boss, Mr. Hart, his boss and his wife, and that it's, again, continuing of the trope, that it's really important that new hires do well, and they have a little scene with a new hire getting fired because he didn't have a good dinner. No entertainment and no, you know, bad conversation, and only a 5-course meal. He tries to call Wanda, and again, a trope. The phone call doesn't go well. It doesn't seem to spur Wanda's memory. It's like they're just missing the comments from each other. Like, oh, yeah. I think it's all about impressing the husband, and I think it's all about impressing the wife. So he never quite explains, like, oh no, that heart, it was because of the dinner with Mr. Hart. They both think that they understand what the other one is talking about, and they just miss each other.
Is your husband tired of you burning his toast? Try our new and improved Toastmate 2000.
So about halfway through, or 10, 11, maybe just 10 minutes in to the episode, there is a fake commercial. And I looked at this face commercial a couple of times. It's for the Stark Industries Toastmate 2000 toaster oven. And there is a very Stepford Wives vibe from the woman who is, you know, alongside the man who is doing the talking head. Like, oh, everybody, every woman knows that a Toastmate 2000 is, you know, the perfect toaster oven for, you know, open face sandwiches and cherry pie. And it's just a, it makes it seem like it's just an advertisement for, you know, a fake funny advertisement for an old time TV show where they would be sponsored by someone and they'd have this live read of a show going out over the air. But towards the end of this gag, the Toastmate 2000, when they depress the lever, it starts beeping. And it's in black and white, but the beep, the light is red. And it starts beeping a little bit faster, beep, beep, beep. And so clearly what they're going to do with these TV shows is set something up for us. It's like the whole show, of course, is a mystery, and it's got clues in it, I'm sure. But I think there's a further or a secondary clue pattern that maybe only, you know, it's not really clear yet if the gag commercial goes with the episode, or if after, say, five or six gag commercials, we'll end up having a picture of what it is they're trying to tell us. It's not really clear at this point what those are. So that makes it a little fun. Not that the commercials are great or anything, or even the delivery of the commercials, but it's nice to have this little mystery. Like, what is it that they're trying to tell us? That's a fun little interlude. It's like at that midway point, they even say, forget the past. This is your future. In Star Wars, episode 8, Kylo Ren says, forget the past, kill it if you have to. Here is, forget the past, this is your future. There's two things that I think about that tagline. One is it could be telling us, the audience, that this is the future and it's not the past. Or maybe this is a show is actually set before Wanda is released from her prison in Sokovia by Baron von Strucker. And maybe it's telling her, like, forget everything that's happened to you. Now, this is your future. Like, maybe she doesn't totally understand who Vision is because she's accessing some weird visions of the future from her jail cell. And so she's actually still, this is maybe pre Age of Ultron, where she's getting a quote unquote vision of the future because of the hallucinations from the ether or the, you know, the mind control stone. Who knows? This show could actually be quote unquote set in the past. We're seeing her, you know, in her jail cell. I think it's at the end of one of the movies where she's, you know, doing some hand stuff, and her brother Quicksilver's in the other cell moving around really fast. You know, so maybe she's having these hallucinations before she gets released. I'm not 100% sure about it because, you know, there's a lot more episodes to come in this WandaVision, and maybe she's the one, you know, bridging the past. Maybe there's a time travel element to this, or maybe she's just warping the present. And some nefarious, you know, being or powers are using her to get a glimpse of the future or see what her powers are, or see what her powers can do in this pocket universe. There's a lot of different things that this could be, but those are just some of my speculations, at least as far as when that commercial came out, it was like, oh, okay, this is much different. And it didn't really go with the episode. They didn't use a toaster oven or anything like that in the episode, so there was no connections that I could make just based on a couple of watches of the show.
The all-new Toastmate 2000 by Stark Industries. Forget the past. This is your future.
Then on the the backside of the commercial, it gets back to the episode. There's a little Dick Van Dyke show-esque kind of humor going on, or maybe that's just the way that the living room is set up. I mean, the show really doesn't have a feel to me of any one particular show. And I watched a lot of Nick at Night when I was younger, and so I couldn't tell if this house was supposed to evoke either one or a couple of different 50s television shows. But, Vision welcomes his boss and his boss's wife, and Wanda comes out in a quote-unquote slinky negligee, but it was, risque only to someone in the 50s, I guess. She's mostly clothed. And there's a little bit of humor about how she's from Europe, and there's the classic trope where the explanation is accepted, a weird, wacky explanation is just accepted on its face by the guests. Hart's wife seems not more kind, but just more willing to go along with the delusion. And that holds true for later when they start to have dinner. So she doesn't have a dinner prepared. She has, this is supposed to be just her and Vision celebrating their anniversary, which isn't necessarily their anniversary, but that's another thing they don't quite know. So she has to go into her kitchen and start to work on the meal. At some point, Agnes comes over, or maybe she calls her or summons her somehow, but Agnes comes over and brings, like, what? Says something weird, like, what housewife doesn't have a 5-course or 3-course meal just sitting, in her pantry? And she tries to help her a little bit, like, lobster thermidor and, crab cakes and then steak Diane for the main course. So, and she's just kind of being not a busybody, but, hanging around a little bit too long, and Wanda wants to get to work with her powers. So she finally gets her out. And there's a funny moment where Hart's wife tries to go and keeps trying to go help, because she hears things going on in the kitchen, and they open the shutters to the kitchen from the living room area. And you see Wanda using her magic.
Take out the papers and the trash, or you won't get no spending cash. If you don't scrub the kitchen floor, you ain't gonna rock and roll no more. Yakety yak, don't talk back.
The Vision starts singing a song and getting everybody to join in, and then he plays the ukulele or something. It's very, very odd. finally, Wanda, uses her magic and gets dinner started. Agnes, I think, comes and makes an appearance as well. But nobody seems surprised that, suddenly dinner is served. And they begin to have their dinner, and Mr. Hart and Miss Hart ask all these questions, like, immediately rattle off, like, every question you'd have during a dinner all at once. And it's kind of unsettling a little bit. The wife kind of questions, like, well, don't give him a hard time. But he's like, why? And then he starts to choke on his meal. Everybody's like a little shocked and freezes a little bit, except the wife. The wife keeps saying, oh, stop it. Stop it. Oh, stop it. Like, she keeps saying the same phrase over and over and over again.
Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it.
It looks like on her face that she starts to get worried. Like, she's worried about this happening where her husband is choking, or the person who's playing her husband. It's not quite clear if these are real people or if this is a setup. And, as the generations or the decades go on the TV shows, it's quite possible that you'll start to see, like, people change, so-and-so is this somebody's husband in this era, and he's not in this era. But in this case, he's choking, and Wanda tells him, like, you need to help him. You need to use your powers and help him. So Vision reaches into his throat with his phase-shifting power and grabs the steak or whatever he was choking on and throws it out. And Mr. Hart, you know, kind of jumps up. He's like, oh, well, thank you. You know, this is going to bode very well for you.
Well, would you look at the time?
Yes. We better be going.
And it's just a very odd, not tense, but it's, you know, there's a part of Wanda and Vision who know that knows what's going on here. You know, and even if everyone else is going along or pretending the lie, there's something else happening, and they're subtly aware of it, but they just can't quite put their finger on it. The hearts leave, and there's a funny moment where there's a lobster that had flown out the window or something, and it appears on their door. And Vision and Wanda sit down and have a little discussion, like, well, why can't it be our anniversary? And, well, when did we get married? Oh, well, we don't even have rings. So she makes rings. She says, well, this could be our anniversary. They're sitting there on the couch. They have a little embrace. And then it kind of like pulls back a little bit. The whole scene kind of pulls back. I think it says, like, it's produced by Babs Digsby or something. And, you know, it's Wanda and Vision, and it pulls back, and there's a television screen, and someone closes like a folder or a book in like somebody's been watching this show play out. And I think there was an emblem of sword. There's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., of course, but S.H.I.E.L.D. was infiltrated by Hydra. And then supposedly, the very limited amount of information I know from the comic books is that there's another it's not just an Earth-bound group that's protecting humanity. It's like a group that's protecting the universe. And I think even the Skrulls, I think, are part of, there might be part of that, because I think Nick Fury is at the end of one of the movies is on a Skrull vessel or a sword vessel out in space, while Skrulls are, you know, have taken his place here on Earth. So from what you have been able, what we have been able to see from previews, the trailers and things, there do seem to be people in the modern day who are trying to help her. I think one of the agents who was tracking Scott Lang with the ankle monitor, the Ant-Man with the ankle monitor, I think he's involved. And then there's someone who is from the Thor, movies, a scientist from the Thor, movies. She's involved as well. It's like there's a fictional sitcom going on a TV screen that someone has been able to tune into, and they're taking notes, kind of like, I guess, we're supposed to do. Like, okay, what does all this mean, and how can we get in touch with her, Wanda? And that's kind of how the episode ends.
I do. Do you?
Yes, I do.
And they lived happily ever after.
So episode one gave us a lot to think about. There was a fake commercial. There was a really overtly 50s sitcom vibe with corny jokes and a very morally stable framework. Exactly what you'd expect from a 50s sitcom, but of course these characters are modern day and have these strange powers. So as I said earlier in this podcast episode, I didn't particularly like it. I did like that there were some, it seemed to be that they were laying clues for us. So that's what I'm hanging my hat on for episode one. Was it was directed by Matt Shakman and written by Jack Schaefer, and I don't know either one of those guys, and if you do, please correct me. Feel free to correct me. I'd love to learn more about the stuff, but I'm going to let my audience direct me on you know, what they think might be important and what isn't. I can't wait to go and watch like Screen Crush and New Rock Stars and those guys who do a great job of breaking down everything that Disney's doing. I'm sure that someone out there is going to have a podcast that completely dissects all the spoilers and all the Easter eggs that appeared. And I'm sure I missed a ton of them. But that was episode one, released on January 15th, 2021. And we did not have to wait long for episode two. That will be in our very next podcast, which will be released soon, but not yet. Again, if you want to engage with me, the host, please send us an email at thisisthewayphase4@gmail.com or send us a tweet at thewayphase4 and, you know, help me out here. Help me shape this podcast to be the way that you guys want it. Because with Star Wars, I know a ton of stuff, maybe too much. And I dissect it and I go frame by frame almost. And I almost know what the meanings of what they're doing are before anyone else does, just because I have such a love and affinity for Star Wars. And I really enjoy Marvel, but I don't have that comic book background knowledge. I think in a certain sense, having a deep comic book background would hurt me a little bit in this show, because they're really writing new stuff here. This is totally new and totally strange, and it's very interesting, but they're not sticking to any one set of, like, it's not like a certain version of a comic writer's works is being used in every, I don't want to say franchise, because, you know, the Marvel Cinematic Universe and now the Marvel TV Universe is all of its own franchise, but Spider-Man was owned by Fox for a long time until Disney kind of took that over. And same thing with Fantastic Four and the X-Men, and those things were owned by different properties, and there was an interpretation of those things. And now here with Phase 4, everything's kind of, I don't want to say fair game, but everything could be in play. You have a lot of intelligent writers in that writer's room, I'm sure, that are shaping carefully the way they want Phase 4 to go for Marvel. And it's really exciting. And for WandaVision episode one, we got a really strange, interesting take on the 50s. And for the second episode, if you want a sneak peek, it looks like it delves into the 60s. And there's a little bit of I Dream of Jeannie vibe that you can see at the beginning of episode two. But join us for that podcast when that comes out. Until next time, I'm Steve Lascalzo, and this is The Way Phase 4, and we hope you'll join us again very soon.